Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Hope your commute is going swimmingly when it's probably not. Our own Bob Dwyer, who is okay, crashed and totaled his car on the way in. So well wishes out to him if he is waiting for a tow truck listening to us right now.
He's home.
He's home now. So if you're watching us, Bob, we love you. We're glad to hear that you're okay. Don't be the next Bob Dwyer. Drive safely and get to work. Jerry in for Boomer this morning. Boomer, I believe, will be back tomorrow. There's been some confusion about his vacation schedule. Good morning, Jerry. What's happening, man?
Well, I'm all right. How are you? Back from vacation?
Yeah.
Feeling refreshed? Ready to rock?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think that goes away pretty quickly, right?
I would say by tomorrow it's over.
Yeah. I've been home for a little bit because we didn't know with the baby, this first vacation, how long we could tolerate having a one-year-old in a resort.
Sure, yeah.
We didn't know how it was going to go. So we played it safe. We came home Thursday afternoon. So I've been home for a little bit, easing back in and sitting in the house for a couple of days and not doing much. I was ready to come back. And then the storm rolls through to give you a big smack in the face, like, welcome back to New York.
But overblown, though, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. Mostly they are, I feel like, nowadays.
This year in particular, it seems like we discuss this all the time, Al and I, on the drive in and out. We see the salting crews and the plows ready to go at a drop's note. But nothing has happened this winter, which has been great. And it seems like, at least for where we come from, not much either. So was it, when you look back now, was it a mistake staying until Thursday, or should you have stayed the weekend? How'd she handle it?
We could have stayed another day. I'm glad that we came back when we did, but we could have stayed another day. And the plane, by the way, was just...
No issues, right?
No issues.
I told you. Good.
No issues at all. The way down, maybe 20% of the time, she got a little bit fussy.
That's all right.
And there was one guy who definitely did not want to hear a peep out of the baby. Just and I kept thinking about him. I almost gave him my noise canceling headphones in a jerkish way, right? Like, here, take
like
these.
Throw them at him.
Like, I could tell you're bothered, buddy. Why don't you take my noise canceling headphones?
Where was he sitting in relation to you guys?
So we're in a row on the left side of the plane. He is one row up across the aisle.
Got it.
So I kept seeing his glare back. He would glare back. But she was great. And then on the way back, so the way back, we were the idiots. And the baby was great. So
you two were fighting?
No. We were not fighting.
She was crying.
No. Listen, two boneheaded things. Unbelievably boneheaded things. The flight home, the baby was great. She could not have been better. Did not fuss one bit. But how about this? This is just classic. So we roll up, rent a car, drop off, and we're driving from the Keys to Fort Lauderdale Airport.
Right.
So it's a long drive. I didn't realize there was going to be as much traffic. It was one of those things on Waze where it kept building up. And I'm like, my God, this is not good. So we finally get to the airport, drop off the rent-a-car. We get to the gate, get the boarding pass, and I take all the stuff out of my pockets to go through security. In my hand is the rent-a-car key.
Oh,
you gotta
really?
Be kidding. So I'm like, all right, you go through security. Like, at this point, I turn into the boomer quarterback mode, you know? I'm like, you go to security. Baby, you stay there. Don't cry. I'm going here. So then, boom, I run back. I run back to Enterprise. I give him the key. I'm like, listen, here's the deal. I gave him the receipt. This is the card. This is this. This is that. I hope I don't get charged. I got to go. Boom, 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 boom. So then I run back to security. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm an idiot. I'm glad we avoided that. Everything's going to be great. So we get to the gate, get through security. No problem. They actually let us cut the line because we have a stroller. So I'm thinking, why don't we have more kids? This is great. I mean, this life is tremendous. You can cut to all these people just because you have a child. So then we get to the gate. Everything's great. Baby's great. She's walking around. Compliments. Oh, she's so cute. Everything about to get on the plane. I'm totally relaxed from a great vacation in the sun. So they say, all right, get Southwest, the stupid Southwest boarding thing that they do. The A group, please line up. A group. So we get up. I go, where are the bottles? She's going to get her bottle. And Gina goes, oh, my God. Oh, we don't have the bottles. Where are the bottles? I left security. I left him at security. So then I look over. There's one guy by himself. He's got a mustache. He's sitting there. He's about 55 years old. He goes, oh, God. So I'm like, all right, what do I do? She's like, you got to run. You got to run. So an old lady says, I think you can make it if you leave now. I said, oh, thanks, lady. You know, I was like, that's great. So then, again, thank God I'm in shape. For whatever reason, I don't take my backpack off. You know, I dropped this 50
pounds. You're
running
with the backpack?
Yeah, like an idiot. Because I just went. So back to security, running through, dodging people. Upstairs, up escalators, everything. I go to security. We left our bottles. You know, in a total panic,
right.
Sweating, out of breath. We left the bottles. So the guy goes, all right, calm down. He's like, Trish, you got some bottles? And she goes, these them? I said, yep, boom! Grabbed the thing, boom, 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 boom. Got back and made it. So
and you made the flight.
Yeah, I made the flight. So the baby was great. We were two morons, but the baby was great.
It is funny when you have the navigation on and you see the time of arrival changing. When we went to, I forget where, I think we went to the Dominican Republic. When we had that, the anniversary party, right, in Manhattan, where is it, where the buses come in? Isn't that where we
Port
did
Authority?
It? No, it wasn't Port Authority. Didn't we remember we did the radio station anniversary?
Oh,
don't you remember that?
It was the 30th
anniversary. And we had Paul Turner come, and he was on the show.
Grand Central Terminal.
That's where it was.
Yep.
And so we had like I want to say it was a 2 p.m. flight out of JFK, and I was leaving at 10. It was like 10:15. I was leaving, and you figure it's no problem. And we go to I guess it was the Battery Tunnel to get out there. And we get right to the point of the tunnel, and they close the tunnel for construction. And you're sitting there and you're watching the time of arrival just diminish. And we made it by about 3 minutes before they locked the gates on us.
I'm telling you.
And it's just nerve-wracking because that's it. It's over. If you miss it, you miss it.
Like, we put so much trust in those stupid GPS times. Like your whole life, like I check the time and if it's...
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I can leave
now. But
they
are accurate at the time.
But then it just traffic builds up and builds up and builds up. And there was one guy, I believe his name was Reggie, and now I might be wrong about that, but I told him I'd say hello to him because in the Fort Lauderdale airport, I walk into a Hudson News to get whatever, a snack and a water, something for the plane. And Reggie, who works in the Fort Lauderdale airport, listens to us, streams us every day.
How about that?
Yeah, works in the Hudson News
well,
at the Fort Lauderdale airport.
What's up, Reg?
Yeah, wanted to say hi to everybody and everything else. So he's a big Mets fan. So there you go. So that was a trip. So we are back now, and there's absolutely not a damn thing happening in sports.
Well,
I mean, it is
kind of where we're at.
Right, exactly. So this is like all the nonsense that gets thrown out there. Right now, one, the baseball stuff, which is just insufferable.
Well, how about
the
back pages about the Yankees hitting more home runs?
I mean, that is...
That's the back page?
This has got to be... You remember this day. Because from all the back pages, and like, me and Mike were on a back page. So they've definitely reached in the past for that. But of all the back pages you're going to see in the rest of 2019, this might be the one... Huh. That's the least interesting when it comes to sports.
I agree. Higher power. Judge. Yanks will crush home run record they set last season. Okay.
Yeah. And then you got St. John's on the back of the news.
I tell you know, I was here with JJ last week, and I asked the question to him. You know, they're a 20-win team. They've been good. CBS Sports Network showing Aaron Judge hitting home runs. Yeah, he's going to do that a lot this year, which we know. St. John's has had a very strange season. And I just asked the question to JJ. I think it was Thursday because we wanted to have Mullen on Thursday, but they declined, which is fine. I said, I know they've won 20 games, and it seems like this foregone conclusion that they're in the NCAA tournament. I said, but... You know, with some of the losses they've had, you know, to me, they still had to go finish the season. And yeah, at the end of the day, do I think they'll be an NCAA tournament team? Yes, I do. But I said, the season's not over yet, and they've been a strange team. And I remember him saying, he goes, yeah, well, you know, they got to go take care of business on Sunday at DePaul. And I said, yeah, and DePaul's not very good, and you usually play in front of nobody there. And so I turned the game on yesterday, and I think it was 10-0 St. John's when I turned it on. And they are just toying with DePaul to where their defensive intensity was off the charts. DePaul looked like a Division III team.
It was 9-0, 11-1, 29.
See, something like that. They were killing them.
Yep.
And then I ran to the store. I come back. My son's watching the game. I said, how much are they up by? He goes, they're losing. I said, losing to who?
Yeah.
And then I watched the end of the game. It's remarkable that they lost that game. And so I ask you the question. Is it a foregone conclusion that St. John's is a tournament team right now?
Well, right now, I think they're probably going to be in the play-in game. I was talking to my friend about this, who's a big St. John's fan. I think that win or lose, they against Xavier in last game of the season. Then they got the Big East tournament. We'll see what happens there. That could change some things. Let's say they win a couple games there, get to a final.
Well, it makes
there
a difference, sure.
It make a little bit of a difference. But, I mean, I think that they probably earned the right to be in the play-in game, which is disgusting because if you think about it, this is they swept Marquette.
Yeah.
They beat Villanova. They played Villanova well the first time they played them down there and then beat them at the Garden. That Seton Hall loss was one that was very close the first time, then beat them again when you needed to at the Garden.
Yep.
But you get swept by Providence and swept by DePaul.
Think about that.
So and Xavier's playing better now, too. So it's just, and you see them keep falling and falling and falling in the Big East standing. So, no, I don't think it's a guarantee any longer, and it's really, really frustrating. And this is one of those instances, too, in sports, as I talk about St. John's a lot, where I am really invested as a fan. Like I
sure.
still really am passionate about it. And once again, I feel like an idiot. I feel like an idiot because I got so excited about them and so into them being in the tournament. And here we go again. But they still have the capability of doing special
and
things.
And that's it. They're immensely talented. It's just a matter of putting it together on that day. We've seen them have great days. It's just mind-boggling that they have days like yesterday when, in fact, they were ready to play. They came out the gate. They were on fire. The intensity and the energy level was exactly where you wanted it to be. But for them to fall flat and give up, they give up 60 points in the second half, 59 or something like that, which is unacceptable. And I do get it. That building that DePaul plays in is horrendous. And there's no, I don't know if you saw any of the game yesterday,
but I watched a lot.
There was nobody in the upper deck.
Yeah.
And the corners of the lower section are empty. And then there's parts of the middle part of the lower section where the top few rows have nobody. So I get it. The atmosphere is not great. But boy, you got to go take care of business in a situation like that.
Yeah, I can't get away from DePaul either. So last year I went to the DePaul game at Carneseca and St.
That's
John's
right.
got crushed. This year I went to the DePaul game at Carneseca, St. John's lost. And then I sat down yesterday, had the whole day to myself, was able to watch most of the game and ended up watching them lose to DePaul. Do you see this guy on the bench? He's becoming now an internet sensation. I noticed him in the game I went to, the DePaul bench. His name is Pantelis Ziadis.
Okay.
He is a 5'10 kid with rec specs and big poofy hair who dances like a maniac.
Oh, one of these guys.
But I'm telling you that, he's got to be the most obnoxious yet funny.
More so than, wasn't it Mammoth that was choreographing those things
right.
after shots?
But that was multiple guys. This is one
guy.
The rest of the team is just sitting there, and he's getting up, doing everything, like the Sizzler dance. He's doing absolutely everything. So you add that to the frustration
right.
where you see this guy who jumps up, he's 5'8 with rec specs, and he's
like
dancing
he's just
in your
mocking
face.
You.
Yeah, I was like, I can't. And I looked him up, Pantelis Ziadis. This guy. This is just salt in the wound right
Seems
now.
Seems like every team has a guy like that, but that's a little much. I really didn't notice that yesterday too much, but I get it.
Yeah, so I don't remember if St. John's got the back page after the Villanova win. They might have, but I know this is a program that's starved for that type of attention,
sure.
So the fact that they had a bad loss and now get one of the back pages
right, the
after
Daily News
that,
had them, yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's got to just crush them. They got to be thinking, this just stinks. So there's that, and we started approaching the Selection Sunday in a couple of weeks and all of that. And then with football, with the Combine, I don't know how much time you spent on that
week. I can't spend any time on that. I find the Combine to be ridiculous.
I mean, so there's a couple of people that'll put major stock into it, and GMs and guys shoot up boards, whatever. I think most guys will lean on the Dave Gettleman theory of checking out the tape.
Yeah.
But quotes that come out of it are somewhat interesting. So how about, there's one team that Kyler Murray said that he would love to play for. One team. You know who it was? The Giants. He said that he would love to play for the Giants out of all the teams. Now, apparently, the Cardinals are seriously thinking about drafting him number one overall with Kingsbury, but that's something.
Well, isn't that the report, too, that I guess he's telling people privately that that's what they're going to do with that number one pick? And I guess they trade Rosen, I suppose.
That could be posturing too, right? If he's telling people, then
I guess
then people say, "Oh, well, I really want Kyler Murray. If you're going to take him, well, let's blow him away with an offer."
Yeah.
It could be something like that. Now, I still don't think that Dave Gettleman would take Kyler Murray. I just, for some reason, I picture Gettleman going for the bigger quarterback, someone who's going to stand in the pocket.
He seems more traditional.
Yeah, and yeah. Dwayne Haskins is more of that guy, so I see him leaning towards that. But that would be very, very exciting. That's what I would be rooting for if I were a Giants fan with Kyler Murray, just because I think it would be exceptionally exciting. I still have questions, obviously. The guy, I guess he was measured at 5'10", so he's not 5'8".
5'10 and an eighth.
Yeah, 5'10 and an eighth, so... it's something to pay attention to, and if they end up not drafting a quarterback this year, then just like...
Well, the only way I think they don't draft the quarterback in the first round is if teams move up ahead of them to get who they want, meaning Haskins or Murray. Haskins, even he, I think, has had quotes about the Giants.
Sure.
It seems like it would be a very good fit. Boomer's been talking about Haskins for 2 months now, I would say, maybe even longer than that, in terms of being the next Giant quarterback. So we will see. It looks like both would love to come here and play for the Giants. But now is the tricky time. You know, who's going to maneuver themselves and position themselves to move up and get these guys ahead of teams that need quarterbacks? And do the Giants sit where they're at, or do they try to move up a spot or two to ensure that they get the guy that they want, if indeed they want one of these two guys? See, that's the thing we don't know. You know, Gettleman, I don't know what the guy's thinking. I really don't. I mean, you know, we had the whole Eli thing last week. Luckily, you were not here for that, which was good, and I was glad Boomer wasn't here for that. But I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what direction they go in. Do they draft a defensive player? We'll find out. I think the quarterback's the right thing to do, but we'll see what they do at the spot.
And we got NFL free agency coming up in just a couple of weeks. So we'll be able to, that stupid little tampering period where people sign guys but not really supposed to sign guys.
And did you see the Antonio Brown sit down?
Yes, I did. The LeBron one or the Jeff Darlington one?
The Jeff Darlington one.
The LeBron one, he was funny, though. Did you see?
I did not see that one.
When he was talking.
Why would LeBron sit down? Was that the
barbershop?
Oh, I forgot about
that.
That's
where
he does
that. Really letting loose.
I did not
really
realize.
Letting loose.
Well, I thought he let loose with Darlington.
No, what he said about that interception in Denver.
Yeah.
He said that, well, Ben, see, I can't say exactly what
right.
he said, but he said, he's like, Ben told me that I had to run a better route. Man, you threw that S to a blanking defensive lineman. I'm not a fan of Antonio Brown's behavior lately, but that cracked me up. And then all the guys are just falling over laughing.
Shocking.
You know? Yeah, you threw that blank to a blanking defensive lineman. Yeah, very, very strange. And then the Darlington one just added to it. Was that his house, by the way?
Yes, that was 18,000 square feet. They showed a couple of rooms in the house.
God.
And it was, I forget how Darlington put it, but it was something along the lines of, he doesn't have this home to throw it in your face. It more represents the climb that he has had from the 25 miles south of where he grew up in a very tough neighborhood.
Right.
And so that reminds him how he's gotten to where he is and
sure.
where he's still going to go.
Because if there's a guy that's grounded, it's Antonio Brown, right?
I don't know that he's grounded.
I mean, this is a guy who really always thinks about where he came from.
I will
every day.
Say, and we get into it later, the quotes about Tomlin, too, in the Week 17 thing are interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, he also addressed that in LeBron thing, too, about told him to just basically go home.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe him.
I don't either. I mean, who's... Someone's lying here.
Yeah, I know. I would tend to think it's Antonio Brown.
I'm going to believe Mike Tomlin.
I would, too.
But I don't know.
And that Kevin Colbert, the GM of the Steelers, that line is going to haunt him forever.
Yeah, the 52 kids.
52 kids.
Mm.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown's right about that.
I agree with him.
It basically cements his point.
Yes.
It's almost as if Kevin Colbert was working for Antonio Brown's
PR team. He basically
tells
Darlington, now you see why I feel the way I feel.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.